Hey, everybody. Welcome to another week of the Soccer Thread Podcast. I'm Dan Schrader. I'm in Portland, Oregon. It's a hot one, folks. Ryan Palmer, mow that lawn.
Yeah, I got a lawn to mow in this hot-ass weather. So I might go Collins route and do this shirtless. So I'm apologizing to the neighborhood committee already.
Don't forget to oil yourself up before you do it.
I was going to say, Tom Brady, I know how much sunscreen you're going to be using for that.
Zero.
Colin Smith's in the swamp.
I'm in the swamp. It's Sunday afternoon. I went on a nice little walk with my son today, and he is making me so proud. He dropped the sickest burn on me that he's done yet. And that was, we were sitting at the park. I'm feeding him graham crackers. He looks down at his shoes and he goes, Ross's shoes. And I'm like, yeah, those are your shoes. Cool, cool. And then he looks at my shoes and he goes, those are not grandpa's shoes anymore. I'm like, damn. To be fair, I did have on some New Balances.
What are those?
I was just like, I've never heard that one, but I got your point. All right. I got your point.
I was really hoping he's going to be like, your shoes are whack.
Yeah.
It's basically what he said, but
you broke. You know,
which is funny because like this is one of the things he does is he likes to pick up people's shoes when they come over and tell you whose shoes they are. And he was like, I don't know where you got yours, but they're not grandpa's anymore. So
them shits are broke.
Mike Samuelson is in Minneapolis.
I had the pleasure of being woken up this morning by the sound of either the fire alarm or the carbon monoxide alarm. I'm not entirely sure. I think it was the carbon monoxide alarm. Went for a walk and then came back and everyone was, you know, no longer gathered outside the apartment. But we haven't gotten any actual notification of like what happened or if it's actually safe to be back in the apartment. So if I just kind of pass out in the middle of this podcast,
please, this is actually the safest thing you can be doing because you have
monitors.
Please contact
someone locally and have them check on me.
Sounds good. We got eyes on Mike. We got eyes on Mike.
Yeah, exactly. If you're worried about carbon monoxide poisoning, Zoom someone and just make them watch you.
Yep. That's all you can do now.
Am I still conscious? Am I still conscious? Yeah? Okay, good.
Yeah, yeah. The problem is Mike loves a nap anyway, so like
it's going to be hard to tell. I hate a nap. Can't nap. Don't know how to nap.
Oh, wow.
Skips a generation.
Hot take.
This goes well against your the whole old man vibe.
Yeah. Don't like it.
Throw me for a loop.
No, my mind stays racing, so naps don't really work for me.
That's why you can only drink a quarter of a cup of coffee at a time.
The head hits the pillow and I just start worrying about things.
Word. Well, can you want to worry about the emails and the text messages and the thread and the whatever else we got?
Tweets. Yeah. The e-communications. Yep. Well, first I just want to say shame on the listeners. Not a single listener wrote in this week to wish my wife a happy birthday. It would have been acceptable to do that last week before her birthday or this week after her birthday. Listener did neither, so shame on you. Think about what you're doing with your life.
Wow, I love how you're using this platform for good, Mike. That's good.
We did get a tweet, though, from Carson Gorky with, you know, a very simple question. What is your current CONCACAF starting 11? I know this was a question that I was not at all prepared to answer. So I actually spent a little bit of time researching it. I wrote down a bunch of names. I'm going to just, you know, kind of go position by position. We can kind of figure out formation later on. Keeper, Keylor Navas. I think he's got to be locked in, right? Is there anyone other than Keylor Navas, like Zach Steffen? Definitely not at that level. Not a 3-time Champions League winner.
Yeah. I mean, I think you could argue that Keylor Navas is getting old, but I think Guillermo Ochoa would be probably the next up.
Yeah.
So, I'm with you. I'm still taking Keylor Navas. You can be old and be an effective keeper.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure Ochoa is older than Navas also.
Wow.
So,
What happened to Jonathan Klinsmann? That's my big question.
Not old enough.
Not making the starting 11.
Yep. Outside backs, left back, another lock-in spot, Alphonso Davies. Just torching people left and right. I don't think there can be any real discussion that anyone other than him is the best left back in CONCACAF right now, even though he doesn't really play left back for Canada. Mm. We're slotting him in there, though.
For sure. For sure.
Yep.
Position of need.
Yep. Right back, I put Destin there. I think Colin has a little shout for Miguel Layún.
Yeah.
Colin, I mean,
I'll take Miguel Layún. So the other question is, who is this team playing? But Miguel Layún is an absolute CONCACAF killer. He's maybe a little bit of a European journeyman as far as his club career, but his international career, he's a very effective player. So I'll take him over Dest any day of the week.
Wow.
For this.
And I think good question about who we're playing. I think we're playing Asian best 11.
I'm still taking Miguel Layún. Yeah.
I would love for this to actually be a thing. Like,
yeah, that would
be fun.
All of these associations play each other. This would be great.
This would be a good like charity tournament.
Yeah, 100%.
We don't need like MLS All-Stars versus Bayern Munich. Just give us CONCACAF 11 versus Asian 11.
It's some FIFA 04 shit too. Like they would have had that.
Totally. All right. Center back. Oh, wait. Does anyone want to make an argument for Dest?
I think it's that he shouldn't be on the team or that
he should be. Right now, Colin's coming in riding hard for Layún.
I'm going to say it's still early doors on Dest. Like, I feel like we've not seen enough of him yet to slot him in there.
That's exactly right. I agree. This is a who's going to be better in 5 years question. It's different, but current, no way.
Okay. I'll take Dest just because Layún is 33.
Mike hates old people.
You're old. I'm not putting you out on the on the wing to get burned by, Heung-min Son. Center backs, I had three in there. John Anthony Brooks, Carlos Salcedo, and Hector Moreno.
You had two. I added Hector Moreno, by the way.
Okay. Good for you.
Quit lying to the listeners.
So who listeners deserve everything they get. So are you saying Moreno's in there over Salcedo or Brooks or just for discussion purposes?
No, I just put him in there for discussion. I think you can make the argument that he's better than either of those guys. I think this is a 2 out of 3 situation. They're all about equal for me.
Are they really a notch above the likes of Tim Ream, who just got promoted back to the Premier League?
Yes.
There you go.
Yeah, Tim Ream is error prone and lead footed.
And if you think Miguel Layún is slow, just wait for Tim Ream.
Tim Ream gets eaten alive by Son Heung-min or Heung-min Son. It's happened before. They played in the same league before.
Yeah. The tape.
I think this entire team gets eaten alive by him, but continue.
Yeah.
Wow.
We got to deny him the ball. That's all we're going to say.
Yeah.
I will put Alphonso Davies up against him any day. It'll be a good matchup. That's all I'm saying.
Be entertaining.
Yeah. Like Arsenal.
All right. As we move further up the field, we have a lot more options here. Center mid, we've got Hector Herrera, Adams, McKennie, Andres Guardado, Brian Ruiz. I just put in there for fun. He's probably a little over the hill, but definite CONCACAF legend.
A little bit. Is he still actually playing professionally?
I feel like he's somewhere in the Middle East, but he could be anywhere at this point, and I wouldn't be surprised. Edson Alvarez, Ajax midfielder, and then I think Colin, you added Jonathan Dos Santos.
Yeah,
that was silly of you, but
just for fun. He was never going to make the team.
I'm just gonna make the executive decision. We're playing a 4-3-3 here.
Oh, I wanted to play 4-4-2. Who are you taking? Squad.
All right. Well, I would probably take Herrera, Adams, McKennie.
I like that. I'm good with that.
they're all kind of similar. But I still like it. I like that versatility. I like that interchangeability.
And we all know how you feel about Tyler Adams, so.
Yeah.
He's the world's greatest. We'll get onto it.
I think we're very strong on the wing, actually, and up front. So I wanted to play two strikers. So I wanted to play 4-4-2 and only pick two of these center mids. And I was going to pick Hector Herrera and Tyler Adams. But either way, that just means I have the same top two as you. And it's a question of formation, whether we get McKennie in there.
Sure. I'm not mad at that at all. I like
content. This
I like your 1990s tactics.
Yeah, I mean, really, what you're actually saying.
Everton's been playing 4-4-2 late, you know, this year, and I'm just like, just this is working. Run it back, big guy, little guy up top. Let's do it.
This is just a peek behind the curtain of what it's going to be like in the boardroom when we own Tranmere Rovers. So,
yeah,
just a lot of backslapping, a lot of yes manning.
I was observing the Powerball jackpot today. It was too
I'll just
low.
Be Didn't sitting in a hot closet somewhere with no opinion.
Dan will just be mocking us.
Except we're not on the Zoom where the three of us are in the room and you're in the closet of the room yelling through the closet door.
Yep. When can I get out of here? I got to mow the lawn. It's really hot.
Colin and I will be telling each other how good of a job we're doing as we're in last place. And Dan will be like, guys, come on. We're in last place in, you know, the fifth tier.
Yeah. And I like in this situation too. Palmer's in the closet, and his job is the groundskeeper, and he needs to mow the lawn. Yeah. But me and Mike are just like, no, it's not hot enough yet. We gotta wait till it gets hotter, and then you can come out.
The sun is not yet directly overhead. Over,
yeah.
I just want to know we're slotting in max power here. That's all I care about.
All right, Dan, give us some better content on these wingers.
I mean, CP to God has got to be in there, right? Best player Absolutely. In the Premier League since the break. So he's getting his spot in. And then I think the real question is, which player from Mexico are we bringing in? Gio Reyna, he's in the Dest role here, right? He's
early doors.
He's young. He hasn't shown yet. I mean, if we're talking 7 years from now, could be, but not going to be there yet. So,
or he could be taking. You don't know.
Exactly. Lots of options though. Tecatito, Lozano, older Mexican guys, Gio de Santos doesn't actually play for the Mexican national team, right? But that wasn't exactly the question. So
he was a CONCACAF guy. I don't know. I put him in there.
Yeah.
It's unclear if he even plays soccer anymore, actually. So
just, yeah.
Getting those checks.
Does Diego Rossi fall into a winger category? I'd throw him in there. He's been good for LAFC.
I think he's Uruguayan.
Really?
Not CONCACAF.
Bad, everybody. Ouch. You're right. He's Uruguayan.
Dan's got the Big Ten CONCACAF.
Know your federations.
Way to go, Mike. Well, there goes my content. Back to you.
Beautiful. And then up top, Palmer.
Wait, who did we pick? Who's playing on the other wing?
CP to God all the way across.
Sounds like we pick CP to God and either Tecatito or Lozano. Dan has no preference.
No love for Jesus Corona?
Meh.
All right.
Make a pick.
Who do you want, Colin?
I mean, that's who I want. That's who I want.
Okay.
He's a guy, he's gets games for Porto, plenty of European experience, prime of his career.
Wait, you know that Corona is Tecatito, right?
Wait, no. I don't know that.
Man, we should save this for episode 200. This is just cool.
Yeah, this is incredible. I think everyone's turned off right now. All right, Palmer, I'm just going to assume we're picking Jimenez and Vela up top as our two strikers, right?
Yeah, that's good with me.
Yep. All right, there you go, Carson. You're welcome. You've single-handedly driven a huge wedge between the four of us with this awful content.
That was bad.
Honestly, a good question. We just really fucked it up.
Yeah, just terrible effort by us.
Yeah. This is what happens when we actually prep.
We gotta prepare for these podcasts.
When we prep, things just get really boring.
Yeah.
Well, when one of us prep.
Yeah.
Fair. Hey, all for one for all. All right. Next email. From Rudy, he He wants to let us know, based on our answers from last week, we all have earned ourselves some virtual Gaios, or in Dan's case, virtual Mosa. So cheers. Cheers to you, Rudy. Cheers.
That's great.
Appreciate the virtual beers.
We can't do the Condom Bowl starting 11. We can't do this again.
No. No, we're venturing much more into your area of expertise, Palmer. We're talking great movies.
Yes.
I'm taking, if we do Combo Bowl, I'm taking Diego Rossi.
Love it. Dan, first on the board with the Combo Bowl draft.
Neymar sitting on the bench behind Diego Rossi.
Yeah, Messi very upset right now. Rudy wants us to let us know that his first choice for last week's question about, you know, what movie you'd want to watch was obviously Rudy, but then he thought
beautiful
that'd be too cliche, and he chose either The Fighter or Invincible.
It's on the tin.
Rudy would have honestly been a great pick, Rudy. So go with your heart.
I love Rudy actually suggests Rudy without actually making it seem like he's picking it just because it's actually his name.
Yeah.
He does a great job of just ignoring that completely.
Yeah.
It's lovely.
If we're watching Rudy in the locker room and Rudy's on the team and he's not speaking every line that Rudy says as it's said on the movie, then I'm not watching it. I want him. Well, I want him playing the part of Rudy in the locker room.
When everyone's chanting live, Rudy is going to be so pumped up that when you let him loose on the field, it's going to be fucking gangbusters.
That's what happens in the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what happened in real life.
Yeah.
I love it.
Amazing.
All right. Great stuff by us. All right. Now on to Rudy's new question.
Great stuff, but whatever.
He's got a couple questions, so I'll just read them all out, and you can answer as you see fit, Palmer. What movie would you like for the other team to watch while both teams are waiting? Would your answer change if you knew both teams must watch the same movie? And what movie could bring up the overall level of play?
All right, I'm going to answer your third question first. I think the obvious answer to bringing up the level of play is either Ladybugs, classic Rodney Dangerfield soccer movie, or The Big Green. I'm thinking we're getting some wild stuff happening, flip throws, weird trick plays. If we watch those movies, that's going to bring up just the wildness and general level of play. Mm-hmm. I think I would like the team to watch a scary movie like The Ring, just to really throw them off, or like Poltergeist or something that just like really fucks you up. Cause then they're just going to be thinking about that during the game. Would it change with both teams? I think if both teams had to watch a movie, I would say like a romantic comedy or like Sleepless in Seattle, just to, you know, even the mood out for everybody. You don't want anybody being too high or too low, but, you know, just even the mood out for everybody. That's my answer.
For some reason on the same movies, the thing that came to mind for me, I don't know why, so, you know, amateur psychologists can read into this what they will, but was Fantasia, like the 1940s.
Disney?
Like, musical with no words in it.
Super trippy.
I just think it'd be an interesting experiment to see which team responds better to that movie. Colin or Dan, any movie picks here?
I mean, I like what Palmer's doing to the other team there. I think you could also have them watch like something like Titanic. They're going down, you know. Especially if they're the favorites, you make them watch Titanic. You're kind of like incepting into them. Like, you thought this was going to be easy, but
it could make them more like out here. Less overconfident though.
Oh shit, there are icebergs out there. Forgot about that. And we're playing the White Caps. Fuck, it's a little on the head. But something like that. Or, I mean, I guess the other one, but I couldn't think of a good example of a movie, is like a movie that really just like, maybe Inception actually is a good example of this, but where a movie where you leave and you're just like, wait, what? Hold on. And you gotta like talk to each other and be like, I'm not sure what I just saw.
Yeah.
That would be good.
Is that what happened?
Yeah. Any Christopher Nolan movie where it just fucks with the timeline, so they don't really know what reality is.
Yeah.
I like that. That the manager's giving like the tactics talk and you're just like, okay, but like how did they hit the second drop and move up the levels? And
I mean, I think if you're gonna do that,
a dream?
If you really want to just kind of fuck with their like just not know what's going on, you have to have like a Mulholland Drive, which is just 3 hours of existential, weird, transcendental meditation that doesn't make any sense whatsoever. That's what I'm saying.
I like it.
I'm going to pick a movie called Soccer Dog the Movie. Tagline, he's a goal-crazy mutt with some winning moves, and he's on his way to the championship. I think this would be great because in this hypothetical, our buddy Sean would be in the locker room with us, and he, as a youngster, was in this movie.
What?
So, yeah, it's true.
Wow.
So it would be an outstanding, you know, our locker room would be all hyped up because Sean's in the movie and we could make fun of him and it'd be amazing. And the other locker room, it's probably a terrible movie, so they just like... You know, it wouldn't be good for them at all.
They're all on their phones. What was his role in the movie?
I think he was like one of the players on the field, you know, soccer acting.
I did not know this.
Yeah.
This is incredible.
I don't think he appeared in the sequel, Soccer Dog, European Championship.
Ooh.
Or European Glory, maybe. Not in the sequel. I've looked for Soccer Dog, you know, all the normal places. It's very difficult to find. So I think if anyone out there can source Soccer Dog, the movie,
we'll pay top dollar.
Yeah, top.
Lots of wags in that movie.
Hey.
Rudy's going to like that one.
Yeah, Rudy is going to go off on that. Get ready. He's going to come back with like 5 Soccer Dog puns, though.
I'm ready.
All right. I feel like we really redeemed ourselves on that email.
Yeah, that's more up our alley.
definitely. Soccerthread@gmail.com to wish my wife a happy birthday, a belated happy birthday.
big news this week in soccer. MLS's back is over. All caps, all exclamation points. The greatest, some would say, tournament of all of history. Sabres are your winners.
The prestigious.
You know, for a while I thought I didn't care about this tournament. It turns out I care a lot.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
I think this is a major trophy.
I get to say the opening question here. So you used to ask me this question. What do you think the chances are this tournament is a success, Colin? And I said, you know, 50-50. Then it was lower. Dan, was this tournament a success?
I mean, here's the thing.
Yes or no? It's a binary question.
100% yes.
Yes, it was. It was. But not because the Timbers won. They got through. There were no like outbreaks in the bubble. Two teams didn't make it, but that was right at the beginning. We don't even talk about that anymore. Like, news cycle has moved on, so that's fine. In the end, it was a success. There was soccer on TV. It was, you know, it worked.
The bubble works.
What were the two teams that didn't make it? It was Dallas and
Nashville.
Yeah,
Nashville.
Okay, they're having their own issues anyway, so I don't know if we'll talk about that. But
yeah, exactly. If there was relegation, they should just be dropped at this point.
Yep.
But yeah, I think it was a success.
I would agree, Dan, that this was a success, and I think that like we showed that a bubble could work.
I'm gonna let you finish. But even like a not good bubble, right? Like MLS did not do a good job of this. So like, you know, NBA certainly will do a better job with the bubble and is, I'm sure, doing a better job with the bubble. But, like, even a not great bubble seems to have worked.
Why do you say it's not a good bubble?
Do you think that MLS put any money into this except for, like, renting the hotels and just being like, guys, stay on your floor?
Yeah. Or, I mean,
MLS bubble meant.
They did get tested. I mean,
yeah. But in terms of, like, actually isolating, I can't believe that they were, you know, like cleaning the cooking supplies as often as NBA. I mean, whatever.
They're not.
MLS just doesn't have the money to do this as correctly.
MLS wasn't getting the leagues. like the tracking ring that the MLS or the NBA players have that like beep if they get too close to people or whatever. I would say that this was a success, but then I think that, you know, it gave MLS a really good opportunity to be like, look, we did it. We made it happen. We were able to organize this. Everyone bought in. And then they turn around and they have a game in Texas in front of fans where the fans have to sign a waiver that says, if you get COVID, you can't sue us. And then they boo the kneeling before the game. It's just like, MLS, what the fuck are you doing? You just had a good success.
That's why we didn't invite you guys to the bubble.
Yeah, it's just like, what the fuck are you thinking? You just had a great tournament, and the soccer was good. It was fun. It was exciting.
2 days later, they blow it. Yeah. They blew all their goodwill in 48 hours.
So they could have like 2,000 people. Like, how much money did they actually make off of that? You know, it's like not even a money thing. It's just a dumb thing.
Oh, it was so dumb. It just doesn't make any sense to just be like, all right, we did this great thing. We showed that a bubble could work. We organized it. We even made a trophy. There was a trophy lift. And then it's just like, let's really fuck this up and like insult all of the players and all of the work that we just did and rush this all back. It's just like fucking MLS.
I love the idea that spending $30 on a trophy makes it legit.
Listen,
trophies are not difficult to source.
I have won multiple Washers trophies and I love every single one of them.
Yeah. I love that they're like, we'll do the bubble. Okay, now let's try the MLB model, see how that goes for us.
Yeah, which has been going fucking terribly.
Yeah,
well, that's my point, is they skipped a whole model, right? Like, MLB doesn't have fans in the stands.
Yeah.
Right? You go straight from bubble to, this is nothing, the coronavirus doesn't exist.
Yeah, they went right to the Belarusian model.
Yeah, exactly. There's a model in between that, you know, most of the rest of the world has been following, quite frankly, where you have games in home stadiums, but no fans.
Right. I think it's team by team that makes the fan decision, right?
Yeah. Well, that shouldn't be, Mike.
I agree. Locality. It shouldn't be. Yeah. But it's, yeah. I mean, nothing that's happening should be happening.
Yeah. I mean, because we've learned that having a higher oversight really doesn't work, you know? So let's just make it up to let's make the choice up to everybody. That's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hashtag freedom.
Depends on your leadership. Hey guys, vote. Everybody vote.
Yep.
Vote.
On the back of our threading jerseys, it all says vote equality, group economics.
Economics. Group economics is incredible. This tournament can never be deemed a success because Ben Olsen is still the coach of DC United. That's all I have to say.
That's fair.
Disagree. That's a success for me.
Can I ask a soccer question?
No.
Last time we tried to talk soccer on this podcast, you know what happened.
Can you ask a movie question instead?
Yeah. Dan, are the Timbers good?
I think the Timbers are good for a tournament. I don't think what they did in this tournament is going to hold up that well in the regular season. They, in their group stage, they figured out how to break down a bunker. In the knockout stage, they figured out how to have 30% of possession and score a couple goals and win. I'm not sure that that's going to work out in a regular season kind of format, but if you define good as like having a game plan and winning a tournament, I think they did that. And, you know, it's sample size and tournament and single knockout and whatever. So anyone could have won, but like they executed and they had a plan and they used subs that made sense and like that kind of stuff. So, yeah, I think they're good.
Is Orlando good?
I think if you can get Nani off his game, which is really what the Timbers did in this game.
Yep.
They just kicked him a bunch early. The ref didn't call anything. I think the ref was very set on not letting his whistle decide the game. He wasn't giving many cards, which just meant like we got to rough and tumble Nani, and he did not handle it well. Got in his own head, I think. And if you take that away from Orlando, they didn't seem that dangerous. So, no, I guess then Orlando's not that good.
Orlando's better than they've been. They're definitely better than you wouldn't. I guess for me, Nani is someone who I expect to fall off a cliff at some point with his effectiveness. like just because of his game and the fact he's old. And he clearly hasn't fallen off that cliff yet. And so I think they're, you know, continuing to improve. I think they'll be better this year than last year or whatever. But yeah, you're right. They're not like a elite two, top two or three, four teams in the East, but they're all right. They don't suck.
So what is the general takeaway of the MLS's back tournament?
Bubbles work.
Bubbles work. Is that it?
Stay in the bubble.
Can we read into anything like what teams are going to have success during the season or
no?
Is this actually, just like I mean, that's all.
If there's going to be a season,
yeah. I mean, I think individual players. We can read into things about individual players, right? Like for me, Brendan Aaronson kind of validated his performance last year. Like he's not just a flash in the pan or whatever. Like he came out and was probably the best attacker for the Union at least. And that the Union, you know, kind of made a run largely on his creativity or whatever. But so like as a Union fan, that's something that I think I can take away from it and feel like is real. But like team success, I don't think so.
What do you make of the fact that the teams that are generally thought to be the superpowers were terrible? Like Toronto was terrible. Atlanta was terrible. Coach got sacked after three losses. LAFC was good. Give it to them. Galaxy, not good. This was a very kind of parody-driven tournament, it felt like.
I mean, I just honestly looked at this tournament like preseason.
Yeah.
And so, you know, like Colin was saying, like you can look at individual guys who played well and say like, okay, yep, you know, they were up for it. But by and large, like these guys hadn't played for a few months and then they were, you know, playing in this really weird situation. And I think it's just a preseason tournament. And, you know, like sometimes that's indicative, you know, sometimes team that goes 0-4 wins the Super Bowl. And sometimes team that goes 0-4, you know, goes 1-15 in the NFL. So
that's is that true? Has a team that started 0-4 ever won the Super Bowl?
I was saying in the preseason.
Preseason.
Oh, yeah. Preseason.
I mean, I think
but,
that
but your point's well taken. Like this happens like Toronto a couple years ago or something started off really bad, poorly, and then had a good year.
Seattle does every year.
Yeah.
Seattle's like, yeah.
Yeah. And you had some players that like decided not to join the bubble, right? So big names like Carlos Vela weren't there. And Josie, obviously, who was actively tweeting and firing off like Twitter beefs during
good tweets.
When is Josie going to become MLS commissioner?
Not mad at those tweets.
CEO of US Soccer. I mean,
I'm not mad at those tweets. I'm just saying, like, you know, these are kind of big name players that decided to forego the tournament and, you know, definitely had kind of that feel of a preseason where, you know, you had opportunities for players that, you know, like Colin was saying, Aronson getting his opportunity to kind of show up and.
Sorry, what was that name?
Yeah,
I don't know. Aaronson. What?
That's the one.
There it is.
Whatever. my bad. The kid from Toronto, what is it? Akinola that had, you know, a couple good games. And his name was kind of thrown into the, US men's national team lexicon. So,
his amazing name
is yes. This is just preseason and, now we get to see how this season is, ultimately ruined.
So if it's preseason, there's been some talk, I don't think by anybody in the league, but on Twitter, hey, this is fun. Let's do this as preseason every year. Get everyone together in Vegas, or at least get the Western Conference in Vegas, get the Eastern Conference in Orlando, and play a tournament. Why not?
Sure.
I don't hate that. I really
don't
hate it.
It's called spring training.
Yeah.
That's not a novel concept, guys.
I mean, I think they kind of already do that.
Yeah.
Like, I know DC United every year, they go down to Florida and they play the Philadelphia Union five times or whatever. Yep. It's just like, now it gets marketed a little bit.
They play weird-ass shit where they play three halves and stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I think it'd be interesting, like, we often talk about MLS going to, like, the European season calendar. Like, I think the only way you could do that is to have some kind of like concentration of games at the start of the end of the season in, you know, Florida and Southern California. So like doing something like this as part of the regular season, I think would be an interesting question.
Like the winter break?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know.
What about like the other rule changes that we've seen? I mean, just generally, so like the water breaks and the multiple subs, like are those things that we should carry on?
I'm going to cut you off again. I just have one more thought about doing a tournament as preseason. These tournaments, like you guys are saying, exist, right? They play them in Arizona. Timbers play in Arizona every spring break or spring, and then they come up and play a tournament at Providence Park every spring. It's going to be cream, right? The league now is like, wait, there's money that we can make on this. Why are we letting other people benefit? Like, I actually think this is going to happen because the league sees an opportunity to make, like, why wouldn't they? It's cream. Palmer, your question. I love the water break.
Yeah.
I love it. These guys get to take on some, because they take on water, they take on like nutrients and calories. So the game, I think, is better through the end of the game because they're not gassed at 90 minutes. They can still play. Plus, they get some tactical input. The coaches can coach. I think it makes for a better game all the way through.
Mike loves it, I think.
I feel like the end of games are fun because people are gassed. And then you have like more openness to games a lot of times, or just more things happen because people's minds shut off. So I like that. So I don't want people being less tired. I want them being more tired.
So you're trying to get rid of halftime.
If anything, I think players should have to run like 2 miles before a game starts. And then obviously you all know how I feel about tactics is like, I, you know, when you allow the coaches to have everyone in front, they don't get to whistle. They don't get to do the thing with the fingers with like they move the two fingers around.
Yeah.
I mean, I do like the more subs. I think that's good because, again, it means you can bring on more people with fresh legs to run at people with tired legs. So I'm pro that. But I don't like the water breaks. And I also feel like but this was particularly true in Europe. And I was never monitoring the temperature, but like they always had water breaks. And I just feel like, you know, London in June, it was probably like 75 degrees. It was probably beautiful.
Yeah, it
like,
wasn't that hot.
You don't need a water break, but that's just me.
At least for the MLS, because there were no fans, you could like hear the coaching. And it was pretty hilarious to see like the coaches with the little magnetic boards that were moving players. Thought that was funny. And then like Gio Severacy was just, I don't know if he did any coaching other than just like screaming at players. Like he would get crouched down and just like grab them and shake them.
That's Mike's idea of tactics.
Yeah, that was entertaining for me.
Timber's average age of 33. Gio Savarese just like grabbing just shirt collars.
Gio Savarese just puts on like a 3-minute clip of Rudy.
So this thinking about like being able to take on a gel or whatever during the water break. Why couldn't, or maybe have people ever like sewn gels into their shorts? Like these guys could be taking calories during the game.
Oh wow!
I'm gonna apply for a job at a professional sports team, and this is gonna be my entire idea. Just like, hey, let's, you know, marathoners eat during a marathon. Like it's not so much different. You guys should be eating during the game,
Don't you work like 5 minutes away from the U.S. headquarters of both Nike and Adidas?
It's more like 25 minutes from Adidas. Yeah.
Chinchilla.
triangulate his location now.
Yep.
I'm just saying, you gotta think global. Don't take this to the team. Take this to the apparel manufacturers.
I think I'm still safe. There will be two spots that fulfill that that radii requirement.
Yeah, exactly.
So we're okay. Anything else on MLS's back? It was a success in the end. It still shouldn't have been played, but it was a success, and it's going to be a much larger success than whatever's about to happen next.
Yeah.
So there you go.
It was a pleasant surprise. Pleasant surprise.
Yeah.
As Samuel Jackson says in Jurassic Park, hold on to your butts.
Another amazing tournament that's happening, I don't know if they're officially in a bubble, but they're all in the same place at least, is the Champions League. Mike and I talked last week about how amazing this is. Single elimination quarterfinals happened this week. They're all in Portugal. Are they all playing in the same tournament or in the same stadium also every day?
I think so, yeah.
Two stadiums.
Okay.
They're all in Lisbon. One's in the Sporting Stadium, one's in the Benfica Stadium.
Okay.
Excellent stuff. So RB Leipzig threw against Atletico Madrid 2-1. That second goal, the game winner, coming from none only than your CONCACAF starting 11, center midfielder, Tyler Adams.
Good God.
Back as the number one power ranking for American players, I think it's safe to say. The only American to have scored in a Champions League quarterfinal. The biggest goal for an American in club soccer history.
Wow.
Is that, do we think that's true?
I'm happy to be proven wrong, but
I can't think of,
there's only one other, right?
I can't think What's of a bigger one?
One. Clint Dempsey's Europa League goal against Juventus.
It's Europa League.
Yeah.
It's not Europa League.
Europa League. Yeah. I mean, I was going to say, losers is league. There, not that I can think of off the top of my head, but it just seems like there's a potential that an American has scored a goal in like a promotion playoff or something like that, where it could be the £160 million goal or something like that. So it would be technically worth more, financially speaking at least, but not a, maybe as big of a stage.
Yeah,
and certainly not a
Lyndon Gooch scored a goal that nobody noticed.
Yeah,
I mean, or like Joe Max Moore or something. I don't know, you know, like kind of before that era. But
yeah,
but yeah, no, for me, yes,
this is huge. Yeah, this is huge.
So he, with that goal, becomes potentially the second ever American to play in a Champions League semifinal. The other one being
Beasley,
Jovan Kerovsky.
DeMarcus Beasley for PSV, I believe. So exciting stuff. Exciting stuff. I got the bullet guns from Mike, so I think I got that little trivia correct. PSG beat Atalanta. A lot of people really pulling for Atalanta in this game. PSG comeback score 2 in injury time to take it 2-1.
Yeah.
Anything? Neymar's pretty good. Sorry, Colin.
Yeah, Neymar had a great game. He did kind of fluff a few chances here and there, but I thought that he was pretty great during this game, provided the game-winning assist, I believe. He was very, very active all game. I mean, he's good.
The right back for Atalanta on that first PSG goal, man, the definition of ball watching while you have the world's most expensive player standing right next to you. It was really tough to watch.
That's the genius of Neymar, is that he kind of sucks for a while.
Yeah, he can lull you to sleep.
That's right.
Big time lulling happening there.
I feel like PSG got a lot of hate, or like this game was met with a lot of sadness online. Why do people hate PSG so much compared to, you know, whatever? Chelsea is another kind of nouveau riche team, not quite as new, but then you've got your Real Madrid's, your Bayern Munich's, your Barcelona's that are just big super clubs that buy expensive players. Like, why does everyone hate PSG, apparently?
I think that's the issue, is the buying of just putting the small teams out of business, essentially. And they're like the Yankees, you know, you love to hate new money, and Atalanta was a small club ish. And it's like, you know, it's a Cinderella story and no one wants to see it end, but that's usually what happens to Cinderella stories.
Just narrative driven then.
Yeah. That's what I would say, but cause I don't hate him. I like Mbappe. I don't hate Neymar like everyone else does, but
I do think the English media hates on PSG a lot, and I don't know if it's just because they're French or if there's more to it than that. But back in the day when I used to listen to, you know, other soccer podcasts, definitely there was a lot of venom.
On the flip side, Atalanta has been good. They're now like considered one of the best teams in Europe. Where have they come from? I've totally missed this this come up. Colin, what's their story?
Oh, you got me. I think they got a new owner. It's your classic. They got a new owner and a new manager a few years ago and have been building kind of situation. But it is like, to me, more akin to an Atletico Madrid than, you know, a real nouveau riche where they come in and bought out all the, you know, bought players off Juventus or somebody, or like bought players that Juventus wanted or something like that. They're, but yeah, I think I can't remember the manager's name now off the top of my head, but that he's getting a lot of credit. So I think that's probably well deserved. It's, again, it's maybe not, it's more a growth of players and system. That's why I say Atletico Madrid, than it is, yeah, buying high priced individuals and slotting them in together.
Gasperini.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you love to see that. People doing it the right way and not just the money way. That's, you know, okay, fine. So if people are upset at PSG for blowing that out, late on, fair enough, fair enough. The next two games are really the amazing ones.
Speaking of a blowout.
Bayern Munich.
Yeah.
8. Barcelona 2.
Woof.
What? I mean, this is just, I don't know where to start. Mikey, what happened?
I mean, I'll just say everyone's player that they love to hate, Thomas Mueller, really piled it on after this game. I don't know if you all saw this, but he said, like, when I compare this to the 7-1 win against Brazil, that game, like, we just got a little lucky. This game, we absolutely dominated, or something like that, which has just felt like the most Thomas Mueller thing to say, to just really twist the knife.
I'd just be like, just so you guys remember, the other game that this reminds you of?
Yeah.
I was in that one, too.
Oh, that was also me.
That was also me.
Yep. I mean, I watched the first half an hour of this game, and it was really fun, very open. Barcelona almost took the lead at 2-1, but it was just clear, like, you know, Barcelona never been known as, like, the most athletic team, but they just could not hang with Bayern, rather. They were just, like, couldn't keep up. They were just chasing shadows, and it just felt like Barca couldn't defend because they weren't able to, and Bayern was just like, we don't want to defend because we just know we can outscore you, so just, like, give us the ball back so we can get after it.
That's great.
And yeah. And that's exactly what happened.
The thing that struck me about these highlights, and Colin said the same thing on the text thread, but it was 8-2. It could have been 15-5, and Bayern was fine with that, right?
Like, yep.
That exactly what you're saying. Like, it's, let's all just score as many as we can. We're going to score more than you. That's cool.
It's the name of the game.
Yep.
Mark Ter Stegen also was, like, totally down with that. He was, like, giving the ball away left and right to Bayern. Like,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Here, guys, try again.
The commentators that I was listening to were basically like, yeah, Ter Stegen, 3 out of 3, giving the ball away, 4 out of 4. Like, every time he had the ball, he would just basically knock it 60 yards to a Bayern player, and then they would just come down Barca's throat.
Yeah.
Just want some extra career
tactics.
Yeah.
This is why I don't understand tactics.
I mean, it's also like the way Barca sets up, like, that's such an important role because they set up assuming that the keeper's pass is going to be completed. So, like, if you knock it 45 yards down the middle and you give it away, like, both of your outside backs are absolutely on the touchline. Your center backs are 45 yards apart from each other. And so when he does that, it's just like, oh, fuck. Like, Bayern is just running down your throat with 5-on-1 or whatever.
So is it just the case that nobody's ever decided they were good enough to try to press the Barcelona keeper consistently before? Like, Bayern just did it every single... They were just like, no, we're not going to let you pass it from there. Is it just nobody else does it?
I mean, 10 years ago, that was suicide.
Yeah, exactly. And, I mean, mostly it still works. Like, Barcelona, whatever, wins most of their games against most teams.
Yeah.
Is this... I mean...
I just don't think this...
I mean, just humiliating.
I don't think this Barcelona team is... Just, I mean, this is not a shocking, like, analysis. Like, they're not very good. And I don't know. It just feels like since Iniesta left, like, there hasn't been a counterbalance to Messi. And it's just, like, he has, like, too much power to influence things. And, like, that's my theory on just, like, why they're no good. They just, like, they're just always trying to appease Messi. And it's, like, not resulting in good decisions.
I did love Barcelona's second goal. Messi drops, like, between the center backs to collect the ball just to get on it, and then pings an amazing diagonal out to the wing. I forget who was out there. So, and then that results in an assist, right? So Messi with the hockey assist from 70 yards away or whatever. And it just kind of proves that point. I think that Messi is like, okay, look, if I have to play center back and provide that distribution that everyone else has been messing up. Like, I can do that too. But here you go.
I'll do the goalie's job. Just,
yeah.
Yeah. There's just nothing else going on for them, right? Amazing. So Bayern riding high. Anything else on that game? You guys, I mean, you ate to see it. So good.
Very good stuff.
Do you think Bayern, like, at some point, the social media people were like, hey, we got to let one in? Like,
yeah.
Oh,
they've had this workshopped for years. Yeah. They're just waiting for the scoreline.
I mean, that is truly one that will, I mean, I feel like all this post coronavirus restart, MLS is back, all this stuff, like, certainly nothing from the Premier League restart will I ever remember, right? It's just like, it's all a wash in my head. It's like, it'll be like, we restarted and then, I don't know, it ended somehow. There was soccer, but it ended. Same with MLS is back. I'm not going to remember anything that happened in MLS is back in 2 years.
I am.
But this is like the one thing from world soccer, I think, that I'll remember is this 8-2 game.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, do we want to talk about if this is the, like, signifier of the end for this Barcelona team?
I mean, I feel like we have that conversation, like, anytime Barcelona loses, right?
I mean,
yeah, I feel like it's been over. I mean, at least with the current framework.
Does that mean Messi leaves? Is that what that means?
He can stick around. I just think, like, they like Busquets, Piqué, some of those guys who are still hanging on, I feel like their role is gonna diminish.
Transfer to Miami FC.
Yeah.
Wouldn't be mad.
I mean, yeah.
In the final quarterfinal, Lyon beat Pep Guardiola's Manchester City 3-1. This, you know, obviously as the known hater of Tiki Taka and Pep Guardiola tactics, what a week for me.
Yeah. Dan, absolutely 11. Yeah, Tiki Taka 3.
Rant.
Yeah. I mean, so the big issue for Pep in this one is that, I mean, this is not my thinking, right? But he overthought it. Lyon is sixth in La Liga, or Ligue 1, rather. This is not a team that City should be having any trouble with. And he trots out a 3-5-2 instead of his typical formation. He just doesn't let his players play. The three can't handle it. It's just too much. Guardiola, brilliant tactician. He's pushed the game forward in many ways. But with every broad stroke advancement of the game, you can look back through his career, and this is one of them, I think, where he overthinks it, and it costs his team and his club a lot. And this is, you know, the third or fourth year that they've gone out in the quarterfinals now.
Fourth.
A lot of those.
You haven't made
a lot of those. You can look at Pep. Yeah, I mean,
I think it's
highly disappointing.
You tinker too much because you think too much about. I mean, this is the beauty, and you mentioned this in the text thread. This is the beauty of a one-off knockout kind of, you know, game where there's no aggregate, and I think that probably contributed to the 8-2, where, you know, Bayern gets up and Barca is like, we have to go for this.
Yeah.
So we have to press.
Lock it down at 2. Yeah.
Right. I mean, but once it gets to 4-2, maybe you don't have to, because you're not going to get those back. But like, but
that's where the social media team comes in.
You see this game. Yeah, exactly. You see this game end 3-1. You know, City was able to peg a goal back and it was 1-1. You know, rather than just kind of hunker in and take a draw and, you know, call it good on aggregate, someone has to go for a win. So,
yeah, but I mean, this is completely different than the Bayern game, right? Like, in a hypothetical where these are computers.
Yeah, 3-1 is really hard to make a good pun.
In a hypothetical, like the Bayern game, you're like, okay, if these were just computer whatever and you could just like leave it on, like, the final score of that is like Bayern 100, Barca 10. Like, Bayern is just fucking killing them the whole time.
Yeah.
This City one, City's the better team. You know, I mean, maybe not. I hate to say that because I hate that idea. Like, oh, the better team didn't win. I think it's bullshit. Like,
I mean, they're the most expensive squad ever assembled.
The better team wins. Like, you know, blah, blah, blah. And it's not like the referees were the deciding factor and they took it away from the better team or something. No, Lyon deserves to go through. But City made more of the chances. City looked more dangerous the whole game. It was individual mistakes, weird things. It was like, oh, is he offside? He's not offside. They play through, goal, right? Like,
yeah. I mean, that we haven't talked about the Sterling miss where, like, Sterling is a yard from goal and somehow hits it over. Like, you can't blame Pep's tactics on this. I think, again, like, there's a lot of media narrative anytime Pep loses that it's like, oh, he was over tinkering, he was overthinking, his tactics are wrong. Like, his team played well. They had, you know, better expected goals or whatever. They had an incredible miss from one of their best players. Like, sometimes it's just not your day, and that's what's fun about sports and why we were really excited about this format. But, like, I just, this whole narrative that, like, Pep somehow messed it up because he trotted out a different form, like,
I mean,
formation.
It wasn't his day. It hasn't been his day 4 years in a row now. Like, when does Pep was hired to win a Champions League?
Only one team wins the Champions League every year. And, like,
he can't even get past the 16 quarters.
Yeah, 16 teams have made semifinals in the last 4 years.
Right.
Well, we don't know if that's true. We'd have to go back 16. And see. How many of those
teams?
Well,
each year four. There are 16 opportunities to make the semifinals.
I'm just saying. Yesterday,
yeah, exactly. This pattern.
He didn't fuck up. His team fucked up. I would say.
I mean, that's like
your boy KDB. Kevin to business. Did you see what he said after the game?
I did not.
His quote was, "It's the same every year. We never learn." What's he talking about when he says that?
I don't know. Wow. I mean, I agree.
Shots fired.
I actually agree with the narrative here that Pep should have played a more attacking lineup and didn't adjust here and all that. That being said, that team is, like I said, is still better than Lyon. They still played better than Lyon. They still, except for putting the ball in the net, did everything better, which, you know, that's the whole point of the game is to put the ball in the net. So they're going home. But, you know, I don't think that you can draw giant conclusions on this knockout format, or especially, you know, on this data set of one, right?
This isn't a data set of one, though. This is not a data set of one. This is the fourth year in a row that Pep's team have collapsed in the quarterfinals. He has been bought, he literally has been bought to win City a Champions League final, and he's not done his job. Like, why are we a Pep apologist right now?
I mean, I think that
say Pep apologist five times fast. That's all I'm saying.
Pep apologist. Peppa Pig.
All right, so I like Peppa Pig as like a character who interacts in some kind of children's book with Frank Defraud. But yeah, so I agree that, like, in that sense, he's a failure or whatever. Like, he hasn't done his job. You're right. He's got to win these games. He needs to do whatever that, whether it's bad luck or bad managing or bad getting the wrong players, like, he needs to fix it. That's his freaking job. But it's not like he's been a bad manager that whole time, right? Like, Mourinho or other people have been brought to teams to win the Champions League and finished fifth in the league, and their team sucks, and they're playing bad football, and blah, 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 and it's just not working. No, the City is fucking working. They set the, who was that, 2 years ago, they set the most points ever in a Premier League season, and you owe me some socks because Liverpool couldn't touch that this year. And so, like,
Asterix all over the shit.
But so Pep is clearly, he's had success with the City team. Yes, I agree that they've gone out in the knockouts, clearly, but... I don't think he's a fraud because of that. I think he's not perfect. But you're right. His job description is be perfect.
Are any of us perfect? That's all I'm saying.
No comment.
Let's give Pep a little slack because his players are weak. Also,
hashtag Pep out.
That first goal from Lyon was really cool. I enjoyed that goal where the player just kind of curled it around Ederson. And also, Ederson on the last goal. Woof. Zach Steffen, maybe in with a shout next year. Who knows?
So this sets up the semifinals. Leipzig, PSG on Tuesday. Anyone want to take a stab at that?
I mean, I want to see Leipzig, but I think we'll see PSG.
People talk about Nagelsmann from Leipzig as some kind of tactical genius, which obviously I don't understand, but I'm gonna take Julian.
Yeah, I'll take Leipzig as well.
Okay.
That's probably my heart talking, though, because I'm a PSG hater.
Yeah.
But why, Colin? But why?
It comes down to socks. It just comes down to a sock bet.
The PSG Jordan collab stuff is so nice, though. How can you hate that?
I know,
that?
You're going to buy me some PSG Jordan collab socks when Neymar retires without having won a Ballon d'Or.
On Wednesday, Olympique Lyonnais takes on Bayern Munich. As we've said, Lyon is 6th in Ligue 1 this year. Bayern is beating Barcelona 8-2. Can anyone make an argument for Lyon here?
I mean, the question is not who goes through, it's how many goals does Bayern score. Now, yes, hopefully
what does the social media team come up with next?
Save this soundbite for when Lyon goes through, and I can look like an absolute fool for a freezing cold take. But
oh, you and everybody else, man.
The thing that stands out to me about these semis, and I haven't gone back and done this research, but there are no English teams, no Spanish teams, no Italian teams. Those are your big three leagues in Europe. No representation in the semifinals. When's the last time that happened?
That's a great question.
1991.
Maybe never.
Fact check me.
Yeah.
Like when Hungarian teams were good.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. The 50s.
Is
there anything to read into that? Or is that just, I mean, same thing. Single elimination, there's noise, it's a funny season, big asterisks. Or are the big leagues struggling and the little leagues building?
I don't think you can, just like we can't read anything into MLS's back, I don't think you can read anything into this. This is just a weird end to a season.
It's just preseason for next year.
Yeah, it really is. It really is.
France and Germany all very upset that I just called them little leagues. So there you go.
See you in Williamsport.
Yep. Our listenership in France and Germany just plummeting.
We still got Guatemala. We're good. Sorry. Almost said Honduras. Yikes.
Woof. That was close.
That's a demographic we care about.
The final is on next Sunday. We might just decide not to pod until after that. So
I like that idea.
Fun. Could be good. Could be good.
Wait, it's next Sunday?
It's next weekend.
Like they're going to play these in the midweek and then they play the final on the weekend?
I think so.
Colin, we got to get these games in, dog.
Woo.
The 23rd, Sunday. Yep.
Wow.
Yep. They're rolling.
Fantastic.
This is MLS's back, tournament style format.
Yeah. We just
keep them rolling.
I love it.
Next time we pod, Bayern will be Champions League victors.
Bayern has won the Champions League. I was going to check in on that. We talked about that last week, right? We could have a new winner.
Yeah.
Bayern's still in there. All right.
Yeah.
We'll talk about it next Sunday. Thanks, Cliff.
Thanks, Cliff.
Thanks, Cliff.
Thanks, Cliff.
Bye.
That's the next bean and cheese and rice burrito. Bean and cheese and rice burrito. You can't see my whole body. I've been eating too many beans and cheese and rice burrito. You can see half of my body.
That's a good light for you. That's a good light for you.
You are looking at the light from my computer screen.
It's my influencer light.
Man, what are we going to do for 200? We're going to have to do a real blowout, real COVID blowout.
It's going to be huge.
Going to be mediocre.
No, but, you know, like a lot of people might be like, just another episode. But like, oh, 200th episode. Better see what's going on. Everyone who's ever listened is going to tune in.
We'll do a live show and they can see our whole body.
You can see our whole bodies. You can see our whole bodies. You can see our whole body.
The CONCACAF question is like, fuck me. I don't know anything. I'm not going to answer. Do not ask me anything from this. I'm just going to be. Well, if you do, I'm going to be like, you can't see my whole body. And that's about it. That's going to be all of my contribution.
Throw it straight to Palmer.
I don't know. Do we want more fart talk?
I hate a nap. Can't nap. Don't know how to nap. Skips a generation. The head hits the pillow and I just start worrying about things.
Tweets.
You can see your whole body.
Mm-hmm.
Nah.
Top content, this.
I'll just be sitting in a hot closet somewhere with no opinion.
You can see your whole body.
Getting those checks.
There are icebergs out there. Forgot about that. There's a model in between that, you know, most of the rest of the world has been following, quite frankly.
Aronson.
Oh, yeah. I'm hosting. Sorry. I'm supposed to push this forward.
As Samuel Jackson says in Jurassic Park, hold on to your butts.
It's a loser's league. Adelante is Pep apologist, Pep apologist, Peppa Pig.